Good morning. My name is Melissa, and I will be your conference call operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lala's first quarter 2018 results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode to prevent any background noise. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call over to your host for today, Ms. Mariana Rojo, Grupo Lala's Head of Investor Relations, Treasury, and Risk Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our call today. This is Mariana Rojo. Yesterday, we issued our earnings press release after market close. It can be downloaded from the investor section of Grupo Lala's website. This review is being made available via webcast, accessible on our website. Please move to slide three. Before we get started, we would like to inform you that we launched our Lala's website, where image and content have been revamped. Now, you will be able to find information about our company, brands, products, quarterly reports, and news in an accessible way. You just need to enter to www.lala.com.mx and click on the section of your interest. For those of you listening via telephone who also wish to view the slide presentation, please click on the Listen by Phone button tab underneath the player window. For anyone who was unable to connect to this presentation, there will be a replay service once this live session is finished. Access will be available on Lala's webpage, where the information can be found in our earnings release document. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that this conference includes forward-looking statements, which are subject to future events and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from these statements. All forward-looking statements should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our earnings press release and the risk factors included in our filings with the Mexican Stock Exchange. On our call today is Scott Blank, Grupo Lala's CEO, and Alberto Arellano, Grupo Lala's CFO. First, Scott will share a Q1 update and 2018 strategic priorities. Alberto will talk about our first quarter results, and we will finish our call with a Q&A session. Thank you again, and Scott, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mariana. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining our call today. We would like to start the call by highlighting some of the relevant news of the first quarter 2018. Please move to slide four. First of all, we are pleased to report that the integration of Vigor Brazil is going well and that Lala Brazil is on track to deliver its annual plan. 100% of Vigor's management has been retained. We have reinforced internal controls, starting with the standardization of financial reporting. We hired a new CFO and added a general counsel to strengthen the compliance with Brazilian regulation and law. To audit 2017 results, we changed the external auditors to Deloitte Touche, and with that, we aligned Grupo Lala's annual audit across all business units. We also hired PwC to accelerate the implementation of Lala's internal audit processes in Brazil. The debt in Brazilian reais has been reduced by 34% since December 2017, and interest rates were restructured to come down by 67%, from CDI plus 2.4 points per year to CDI plus 0.7 points by the end of the first quarter. We have no issues with raw milk supply. Today, we have more than 1,230 producers delivering milk to Vigor, and we increased our purchase of raw milk by 3% compared to the same period last year. We've continued gaining market share in key product categories, and we are the number three player nationally in Brazil in dairy and cheese, and we've reduced the gap with the top two players. We increased share and defended our number one position in segments such as Greek yogurt, cream cheese, and Recochao. Innovation continues to be the cornerstone of Brazil's business model, and during the quarter, we launched our Greek yogurt with chocolate and caramel flakes to sweeten our product offering in Greek yogurt. Please turn to slide five. We are reconfiguring aspects of our business in the U.S. to prepare it for profitable growth. we transitioned to 100% extended shelf life packaging for our Promised Land Super Premium Milk, thereby moving shelf life from 30 to 50 days. The extended shelf life technology is allowing us to increase our distribution and reach over 10,000 stores across the U.S., a 32% increase versus a year ago. Because of the transition to 100% ESL product, we were able to close the Floristo plant in Texas to concentrate all production of Promised Land in the Colorado facility. The closure of the site in Texas required a one-time expense that negatively affected EBITDA by 41 million pesos. Regarding the drinkable yogurt business, we moved forward with a reconfiguration of the shelf space to incorporate single-serve sizes with our retailers. The single-serve national launch will accelerate growth and strengthen our number one position in the adult drinkable yogurt segment. Additionally, we are now entering the children's segment with new Lala Kids that has fruits and vegetables to reinforce our portfolio of drinkable yogurt in the U.S. Please go to slide 6. In Central America, we have a solid pipeline of innovation in ice cream to continue the double-digit growth that we've experienced in the past two quarters. The first one is Shake It, a popsicle with a gelatin base that becomes flexible as it warms. We are also launching the Bali Shot and Footballine ice cream in April and May, respectively, to strengthen our top-line growth. Please move to slide 7. In Mexico, innovation of first quarter was focused on strengthening our number one position in milk. We launched Lala Organic, our first organic product that meets the organic farming and production requirements across the value chain. This is the first organic milk from a leading brand in the dairy industry in Mexico, and it's now present in more than 740 self-service stores. We have also increased our capacity for Lala 100 and launched the first whole milk in Lala 100 without lactose. The extra capacity has also allowed us to relaunch the Lala 100 in single-serve size. Lala 100 has been a disruptive product in the milk segment in Mexico, and we expect to continue growing the franchise as volume expands. On slide 8, we show the strategic priorities that will guide us during 2018. Number 1, in Brazil, we'll expand our operating margins by 200 basis points over the next 3 years via top-line growth, innovation, and productivity. Number 2, we will leverage the investments made in previous years in Mexico and Central America to accelerate growth and improve productivity. 3, we will be reconfiguring the U.S. business for profitable growth through Lala drinkable yogurt and Promised Land specialty milk. And 4, we will be deleveraging the company below 2.5 times net debt related to EBITDA by the end of the year. With that, I would like to pass the call over to Alberto Arellano, who will be providing color on the results for the first quarter. Thank you again for joining us. Alberto, please go ahead.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everyone. Please move to slide 10. Let me start by providing you an update of our debt profile. By the end of the quarter, total debt slightly decreased from Q4 2017 to 28.6 billion pesos. 46% of this debt being short-term and 54% being long-term. Net debt ended at 24.4 billion pesos with a leverage ratio of 2.7 times. Brazilian debt represents 15% of the total with a weighted average cost of local reference rate, CDI, plus 0.7%, and an average maturity of 1.4 years. It's worth noting that the acquired debt from the growing real has now been completely refinanced, moving from 9 banks pre-acquisition to 5, and reducing interest spread by 67%. Meanwhile, Mexican peso-denominated debt represents 85% of the total, which cost is the local reference rate, TIIE, plus 0.7%, with an average maturity of 3.8 years. This refinancing has been a combination of local bonds, CEBURES, issued during the month of March in the Mexican securities market for a total of 10 billion pesos, of which 6 billion will pay a fixed annual rate of 9.17% with a maturity in 2028, and 4 billion will pay a floating rate of PA plus 50 basis points with a maturity in 2023. More recently, on April 13, we issued a third bond in the Mexican market for a total of 3 billion pesos with a floating rate of PA plus 40 basis points and maturity in 2021. The remaining debt will be refinanced via bank debt and is expected to be fully finalized before the closing of Q2. Please go to slide 11. As shown on the slide, during the first quarter of this year, Lala reported net sales of almost 18.3 billion pesos, a 23.5% year-on-year increase, which is a combination of organic growth plus the consolidation of operations in Brazil. Meanwhile, in comparable figures, Lala increased its sales by 2.8% to reach 15.2 billion pesos. This slowdown in growth was mainly driven by, one, the negative effect in Mexico of the official Eastern holiday, which fell during the last week of March, where sales tend to decrease for dairy products, and two, a strong comparable last year, with sales increasing 11.4% in Q1 due to the timing of pricing actions and favorable 2017 calendar. Let's move to slide 12. Looking at figures by geography, Mexico and Central America net sales increased by 3.6% to end in 14.4 billion pesos, driven by milk formula, yogurt, and ice cream categories. U.S. reported net sales of 786 million pesos, a 9.6% decrease, explained mainly by, one, the exchange rate impact that negatively affected our sales by 7%, and two, the sales contraction facing the low-margin culture business, which we have explained in previous quarters. Brazil reported net sales of 3.1 billion pesos, mainly behind the strong performance in Greek yogurt and cheeses, especially in cream cheese and requeijão, where the market share continues to expand year over year as a result of new product launches and initiatives at the point of sale. Please go to slide 13. Through the expansion of our current business portfolio and the acquisition of Vigor in Brazil, other dairy products net sales continues growing above all segments, ending in 7.7 billion pesos, a 56.1% increase compared to the same period of last year, now representing 42% of our total sales. The milk segment, which represents 52% of our sales, grew 5.3%, finishing in 9.5 billion pesos, reflecting the innovation initiatives we had in the quarter, such as organic milk and the investments made last year, which enabled us to increase the production capacity of Lala 100 in Mexico. Additionally, the milk formula category under the Nutrileche brand also showed an improvement compared to last year. Beverages and others ended in 980 million pesos, growing 28% versus last year, driven mainly by the cold drinks category, where we have leveraged our strong presence at the point of sale to introduce Nutrideli brand. Please move to slide 14. Reported EBITDA in the first quarter closed at 2 billion pesos, a 17.8% increase and 60 basis points of margin contraction compared to the same period last year. This is due to lower margins in the Brazilian business, which stand around half of those in Mexico. We are implementing initiatives to accelerate top-line growth as well as productivities in costs and expenses that will allow us to continue to expand margins in the medium term. Comparable EBITDA results show an increase of 4.2% versus the first quarter of 2017, finishing in 1.8 billion pesos. These results reflect the productivity initiatives in our business in Mexico and Central America, which allow us to offset the cost of reconfiguring the manufacturing assets for Lala USA and slightly expand our margin by 10 basis points to finish at 11.8%. Without the effect of the Florisville closing, the comparable growth in EBITDA was 6.6%. Turning to slide 15, we show the reported EBITDA by region. In Mexico and Central America, EBITDA reached 1.8 billion pesos, a 6.8% growth compared to the first quarter of last year. This growth is a combination of top-line acceleration and the productivities we have been implementing over the year, which has allowed us to expand our margins by 40 basis points to 13%. The U.S. business continues with negative EBITDA, losing 82 million pesos in the quarter. This result includes a charge of 41 million pesos related to the closing of the Promised Land facility in Texas, as we transition to 100% extended shelf life products now produced in our Colorado facility. Without this charge, EBITDA loss would have been 41 million pesos, which shows a modest progression in our business margins compared to the last two quarters. In Brazil, we closed the quarter in line with our annual plan, with an EBITDA of 236 million pesos, which represents 7.7% of sales. These results were driven by 1, market share gains in key categories, 2, improved pricing facilitated by the strength of our brand, and 3, reduction of material costs, transformation, and operational expense. These results also include 14 million pesos expenses related to the integration of Vigor to Lala. Please turn to slide 16. Reported cost of goods increased 23.5% in line with sales, resulting in a gross profit of 6.6 billion pesos. On a comparable basis, gross profit grew 4.7% versus last year, where productivity initiatives and product mix offset inflation in raw materials, expanding our gross margin by 70 basis points to finish at 36.9%. Reported operating income stands at 1.4 billion pesos, a 14.4% increase, while the comparable operating income grew 1% versus the first quarter of last year. This reflects mainly the expenses associated with the closing of Floresville plant, and secondly, the increase in our marketing, trade, and selling expenses. Without the effect of Floresville closing, the comparable growth was 8.2%. As described in previous slides, reported EBITDA grew by 17.8%, ending in 2 billion pesos, while the comparable EBITDA grew 4.2%, finishing in 1.8 billion pesos. Without the effect of Floresville closing, the comparable growth in EBITDA was 6.6%. The comparable net income ended in 762 million pesos, an 8.2% increase versus year ago. The reported net income was 502 million pesos, significantly impacted by higher financial expenses, which will be explained in the next slide. Let's move to slide 17. During the period, the company recorded financial expenses of 637 million pesos, compared to 234 million pesos a year ago. This increase of 403 million pesos reflects the interest related to the acquisition of Vigor and the better results from our exchange rate coverage instrument. As shown in our results, taxes for the period were 297 million pesos. The effective tax rate of the company increased by 6.2 percentage points, primarily due to the impact of lower net income due to the increase in debt and the related inflationary adjustment of the outstanding debt. Projects are in place to continue optimizing our tax structure in the four regions. As a result, reported net income closed at 502 million pesos, a 28.7% contraction versus the same period last year. Please move to slide 18. While during the past quarter we faced a top-line deceleration in our businesses in Mexico and Central America for the reasons we have described earlier, we were able to defend and slightly expand our margins in the region. We also positively kick off the year in our Brazilian operations that will allow us to meet our yearly plans. Additionally, we have successfully refinanced 75% of our total debt as of today via bank loans and local bonds in Mexico and significantly reduced Vigor debt and cost. That said, we're confident that our business fundamentals are very strong, and we have the talent needed to sustain profitable growth. Thank you for your time, and with that, I would like to turn the call over to the operator and open the line for Q&A session. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. Our first question comes from the line of Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Scott, Alberto, and Mariana. Thank you for taking my questions. I just have two. The first one was on the U.S. business. You mentioned that part of your key strategies for the rest of the year is to reconfigure the U.S. business, and you announced this, I guess, first step in closing one of your facilities. I wanted to hear perhaps your bigger picture thoughts, Scott, on how has the business fundamentally changed? I mean, in terms of different channels, different products, and perhaps the growth trajectory and the scale that you foresee for this business for the next 2-3 years. How is this different with this new management team compared to what you thought when you first entered that market? That would be my first question. And then secondly, if I may, I wanted to ask about your CapEx guidance. You mentioned in the press release that you're expecting a CapEx of 3 billion pesos, which is down nominally versus last year. So I just wanted to double check with you what explains this decline, particularly taking into account that obviously now you have Brazil and perhaps that would imply some incremental investments. If you can share some light in which regions specifically are you cutting down on CapEx, that would be really useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. This is Scott. I'll take the first question regarding Lala U.S. What the management team is doing is they're preparing the business for profitable growth. And so we are doing things like reconfiguring the manufacturing base for the specialty milk line. At the same time, they've reconfigured the packaging offering, which is letting us have a product that's more attractive to retailers and also very, very interesting from a gross margin point of view. So the first thing we're doing across the business, and this goes for all of the key businesses there, especially milks and the Lala drinkable yogurts, is we're making sure that we are first focusing on profitability before we focus on growth. And that's gross margin. It's operating efficiency, distribution efficiency, and operating efficiency. So you're going to see actions, which we've already started taking as we've reported this quarter, across the business system throughout the rest of the year that are focused on preparing the business, the profitability of the business first. The second part of this is then increasing the rate of growth. So there's important things that are occurring right now. So for example, initially the rollout of this business that was done in 2015 and 16, for example, was done with four packs in the modern trade channels and the supermarkets and the hypermarkets in the United States, with very few availability of the singles. And we've found that a lot of market testing we did last year, you need the singles to drive trial. When you have trial, we have very good repeat repurchase rates. And we've done a lot of work on digital coupons and things like that. So we have a model now that we know that works. We've tested in a couple of the key retailers. So you're going to see a change in the shelf sets across all of our major customers in the U.S. Most of those are starting right now in April, May, June period, where we'll have a lineup of both the multi-packs and the singles. And that's going to let us drive trial and grow the category. At the same time, we're growing the business. So first focus is on restructuring the profitability of our product line. And then the second is these changes that are going to help us accelerate the rate of growth. And it's in that order. Okay. I hope that answers your question on the U.S.
Yeah, Tonio, I'll take the CapEx question, Tonio. Good morning. We thought it was important to provide a guidance for this year because, as we have shared with most of you, we are coming from a historical high CapEx year last year. 2017 was a year where we invested 3.8 billion pesos in our four geographies. And basically what we've shared with you as well is It was an outlier in terms of a year where we were opening four plants. We opened a plant, a milk plant in the north part of Mexico in Sonora. We also opened, as you know, a cold cuts plant in Tizayuca, Mexico. And we are in the process of you know, pretty much finalizing two sites in Central America, where most of the work has been paid now in Q1. One of these plants is located in Guatemala and the other one in Costa Rica. So in 2018, we're certainly not planning to open any further plant. We have invested, if you look at the investments from 2016 and 17, there was a lot of capacity or let's say investments ahead of volume coming on cream. We expanded capacity in cream, we expanded capacity in cheese, we expanded capacity in yogurt. On top of these four plants. So today we have pretty much the capacity we need for the upcoming years in terms of growth. And then the second message here is that in this 3 billion peso guidance, we're incorporating Brazil. And what we've seen, over the last couple of months or even quarters now, is that the Brazilian infrastructure is well, I would say, acquainted. We don't foresee any major investments in Brazil. We also have, I would say, the enough capacity to kind of serve the growth of the upcoming quarters/years. So therefore, we are very confident that a 3 billion mark is what we need now, which would be something in the neighborhood of 3.8 to 4% of sales, which is what we believe is what the business needs going forward.
This is very clear. Thank you, Scott and Alberto.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Luca Cipiccia with Goldman Sachs. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to ask something about Brazil. We are receiving still encouraging signs, but somewhat mixed, especially from some of the multinationals. And I was hoping you could comment maybe on the competitive environment currently and going forward. In particular, I've seen Danone, which is the market leader in the yogurt segment, they commented on a double-digit sales decline for their business in Brazil. Part of that arguably is a reflection of self-inflicted portfolio restructuring that they're going through. But if there's any comment you can share on whether that may be opening opportunities for you or generally how the industry or how the market is shaping from a competitive standpoint and if you see any scope to scale while some of the other larger players maybe are reshuffling the business or resizing some of the categories? Thank you.
Sure, Lucas. This is Scott. Thanks for your question. The Brazilian dairy market has declined significantly over the past few years because of the recession and the issues faced by the country as a whole. Over the last few quarters, we've seen the decline in volumes are decelerating almost to a point of being flat, not quite, but the decline is reduced significantly into low single digits. What Bigor has been able to achieve over the last few months and fourth quarter last year is some important market share gains. We've gained share overall in dairy and cheese, and we're also gaining share in some of our priority segments like Greek yogurt, cream cheese, and spreadable cheeses. So generally speaking, I think, you know, the team there is doing a great job under the economic circumstances by maintaining their strategy, growing sales in higher margin segments of the business, which they've achieved successfully. Overall, on a comparable basis, in the first quarter, our sales in Brazil fell 2%, and this was provoked by a co-packing business we have that produces margarine. That co-packing business is worth 15% of volume sales in the Bigor, and that business fell 25% in the first
right.
quarter this year versus the first quarter of last year, with really little or no effect on our EBITDA margins. So I think I think the team has done a great job of continuing to grow value-added segments that have nice, solid margins and gain market share to generate that growth in Brazil, and that's helping us as we try to expand EBITDA margins in the business.
Thank you. That's clear. And is there any element, just to go back to the point about Danone, is there any element whether some of the competitors, the larger competitors, are more willing to give share as they restructure their portfolio or address some changes? Is there any element driving that in your market share gain? Again, Danone was down double digit. It implies from except the margarine business that probably your business was up on a comparable basis. Is that type of divergence, can it continue?
No, I don't think it's provoked by competitors. I mean, they're competing every day for sales in the market. There's also not a lot of direct overlap with some of those key competitors in terms
right.
of our product categories and things like that, you know, specific, functional categories and things like that. So I don't think Vigor's results are a reflection of anybody restructuring their businesses or backing off. I think it's a function of good marketing, good go-to-market execution, and a lot of innovation. That's what's driving our share gains.
All right, clear. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Isabella Simonato with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Scott, Alberto, and Mariana. My question is in Mexico. If you could talk about the pricing strategy for this year and what could we expect in terms of the recent appreciation of the peso, if that means something for your pricing strategy for the coming quarters. And at what level of effects would you consider raising prices again? And also, if you could provide us a little bit more details of your projects to optimize the tax structure, what kind of tax rate could we expect for the year? Thank you.
Hi, Isabella. It's Alberto. Let me address your second question in terms of tax structure. There are a couple of projects here in Mexico that we're working on aiming basically in the front of transportation utilization and the way we consume the diesel and so on. There are some things that we started last year and some things that we're working this year. The other thing is that historically we've also had some elements of non-deductible expenses, which were also shrinking to a bare minimum. And this is only operational discipline that we are also, I would say, fostering around the year. So those two things are things that, you know, are going to help us in terms of our tax rate. The other thing, the other elements are as well, the corporate tax policy now in the U.S., which will also help us a bit, because there was a minimum level that we're paying tax from even when the business was losing money, and now things are going to be changing as of this year. So there's also an element of improvement in the tax rate for the U.S. Now, when it comes to where do we believe the tax rate is going to be, and we didn't write that in the report, but we believe that we will be in the neighborhood of 37-38 effective tax rate, which it's going to be an improvement versus an increase versus last year, but it's a mechanical effect that comes from the fact that in Mexico there's something called annual inflation adjustment, which basically takes your assets and your liabilities, the liquid ones, and it forces you to incorporate an inflation effect. So given that we now have lower profit after tax, lower profit after financing cost, so your mechanical base increases to that. But all in all, we're going to be paying less taxes than last year, obviously, because we're now deducting the real interest versus last year. But that's kind of the way we can explain first that, you know, one or two projects that we're working on to improve the tax rate in Mexico and the U.S., and then the other one is how this inflationary component is affecting our tax rate upwards.
On the first question, Isabel, we will be raising our prices this year in line with market conditions. There are no plans to over or under price, so we'll be raising in line with market conditions. If there were to be some sort of shocks to costs in the industry, as we've mentioned in the past, I think we're fairly well positioned in the sense because a very high proportion, you know, over 90% of our milk supply comes from fresh milk produced here in Mexico. So in the case of Mexico, I think we're in a relatively good competitive position regarding raw material costs versus some of our competitors. In the other countries, we're essentially, you know, increasing prices in line with the market as well. So I wouldn't expect anything extraordinary from a pricing perspective during the year.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lauren Torres with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone. Keeping on Mexico, you know, in your release, and I you did talk about softer or a slowdown in sales growth this quarter, you know, particularly highlighting the Easter shift or the timing of Easter this year versus last, as well as a tough comp. I was curious if you could kind of maybe do more like-for-like comments on what you're seeing if we kind of X out factors, I guess mostly from a volume perspective, if you're seeing, you know, lighter volumes or trading down from Lala to Nutrileche. I think, you know, the thought for this year is that we could see consumer pushback. So curious if you're seeing any moves in that regard. Thanks.
Hi, Lauren. This is Scott. I'll take the question. We're not seeing any evidence in changes in consumption patterns. No contraction, no growth. The effects that we had in the Mexico Central America business unit in the first quarter, the slowdown of sales, from our best estimate, is entirely due to the calendar for the reasons mentioned in our press release. We're seeing, you know, from the economic numbers, you know, relatively solid consumption growth. Some of the numbers from the ANTAD, you know, are showing fairly solid growth as well. So, no, we're not seeing any changes in consumption at this time in Mexico.
Okay. And also, if I could ask on Brazil, I guess first a clarification. You mentioned that the margin progression would be 200 basis points over 3 years. And if that's the case, could you just kind of give us a sense of where the bulk of that will come from and potential timing of that 200 basis points?
I don't think we're not giving exact timing, you know, how much it is exactly year per year, but I can tell you a lot of it comes from product mix. As we grow yogurts and cheeses, that helps the gross margin evolution of the business. That's something they've done successfully over the past few years, and it's something that the trend continues today. So one is product mix. Which is helping gross margin. Another is taking down the know-how from Lala Mexico in and how they manage their raw material, you know, formulations and production processes. We also see an opportunity in those areas to improve gross margin as well by reducing cost of goods. And then they have some very good plans to support from Mexico on operating efficiencies in the supply chain. And some operating efficiencies and go to market as well. Those will take a little bit longer. So I guess the gross margin mix we will see continuously over the next 3 years improving. And I think some of those operating efficiencies you'll start to see kicking in more next year. But that's, I'll give you some flavor for it. I'm sorry, we're not giving exact figures, but we see it as something that's very, very feasible because of the historic performance of the company. And because of the things we've seen that we can bring down from Mexico to Brazil to help them out.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sergio Matsumoto with Citigroup. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Scott, Alberto, and Mariana. Thank you for taking my question. My question is on the increase in the marketing and trade investments that you mentioned in the prepared remarks. Which geographic or segments or categories or demographics of your customers receive this stepped up marketing and trade investment?
Yes. Hi, Sergio. This is Beto. It was pretty much focused in Mexico. We are, as you know, as you probably saw on the quarterly release, we are doing the introduction of some innovation. Lala 100 whole milk, and then also Lala Organica. We have focused most of our, let's say, innovation expenses on those brands during the first quarter of the year. We are not foreseeing a major change in the way we have been invested in marketing and trade. From last year and so on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Luis Miranda with Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of follow-ups. The first one in Mexico, so Alberto, just to understand and to be precise, during the first quarter, you haven't seen a more aggressive promotional activity in Mexico in supermarkets, even with the new introductions. Just want to clarify that. And the second point is with regards to Brazil. I understand that you don't have any specific timing in terms of the margin expansion, but I would like to have some color. Are you seeing any pressure in the price of fresh milk on the back of higher prices of commodities that we are seeing in South America? Thank you.
Hi, Luis. This is Scott. Thanks for the question. To your first question, no, we're not seeing any significant changes in promotional activity in the market in the first quarter. That, I think, answers your first question. The second question, in terms of raw milk pricing in Brazil, while raw milk prices, are fairly stable, they're slightly under what we planned for the year, but very much in line. I mean, it's not a significant difference right now. There's some seasonality, always in milk prices in Brazil, but so far in the first quarter, those milk prices are in line, if not slightly below what we've planned for. We don't see any major disruptions in outside factors like the, you know, tremendous changes in the price of beef or tremendous changes in some of the feed complements that they give the herds there. So no, we're not expecting any significant impact on the business, either favorable or negative, from raw milk prices at this time.
Thanks, Scott. That was very clear. And thanks for the geographical breakdown in the press release. That's very helpful. Thanks.
Thanks.
We're glad it helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Hector Maya with Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Scott, Alberto. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I just wanted to know if it would be possible for you to disclose and a specific amount for the short to medium term synergies in Brazil. I mean, if you could put a number to the synergies you're expecting now that you have more visibility, how much would that be with and without Itambé now that Itambé is seemingly out of the equation? And I also wanted to know if integration expenses will still be an issue just this first half of the year, or if we might see more integration expenses also in the second half of the year. After this, I would have a follow-up. Thanks.
Yes. Hi, Hector. In terms of synergies, I would recommend we stick to the 200 basis points improvement over the next couple of years. That's, this is certainly what we thought for the business on a standalone basis. So Itambé doesn't have anything to do here. We haven't, Vigor hasn't basically lost any of the either milk suppliers or benefits they have on a standalone basis. So let's focus on the 200 basis point improvement as the way the margin will be expanding over the next couple of years. And then in terms of the integration costs, yes, most of these costs are going to be hitting us in H1. We might have something in H2. We will, if this happens, we will be disclosing them as we did now in Q1. But yes, it's certainly more the investments that we require as we speak for the integration to work.
Excellent, thanks. And my second question is, and how sustainable would be to maintain the current margin results in Mexico if in any case we see a weaker second half of the year in terms of consumptions? If you have some scenarios on that front, that would be helpful.
Yeah, Hector, one of our key objectives, as we've described also in 2017, when there was the economic pressure in Mexico, was to defend our margins. No, we have been sharing a 3P strategy that has to do with, first of all, keep driving our portfolio with innovation and premium categories. The second one has been also the fact that we are working tremendously on productivity levers in Mexico that also are there to be able to offset as much as possible the inflation. And then the third one as well is Scott already mentioned that, but we will not underprice the category. We will do what is necessary to defend the margins as well in terms of pricing. So if there is an economic turmoil, if the dollar, skyrockets above 20, and so we will need to reconsider our pricing strategy, and we will be as pressured as the rest of the players in the category. So our intentionality is basically to focus on those three, as we did in 2017, as a way to bridge the economic pressure.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Felipe Ucros with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks, guys, and good morning. I think my question on taxes was already asked by Isabel, so I'll make another question about the share buyback program. You guys mentioned the board of directors had approved an increase, so I was hoping you could give us some more details about how you used the program last year, what percentage of a program was used, and how that's trending this year in comparison, and how large the increase in the program was. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Felipe. Yeah, let me just probably mention what are, you know, our key priorities when it comes to the use of our cash for, you know, for the rest of the year and certainly the year after that. First of all, you know, our number one priority is to be able to repay as much debt as we can. And this is, you know, it's the cornerstone of our deliver strategy over the next couple of quarters. So that's, you know, it's to be clarified and to be clear. Then the second one is, you know, we were also responsibly using some of the CapEx investments to do what's necessary to sustain the business and maintain an operations. And that's certainly our second strategy. Now, if after following these two points, we do have some further cash to be invested in our stock, given the current levels, we believe it could potentially be a good use of our capital. So what we basically got approval from is, as you know, as the Mexican law goes, is to do as much as the acquiring the return earnings that you have in your balance sheet. Now, this certainly doesn't mean that this is what we want to do, but at least we got clear on that respect. Now, we believe we need to be a little bit more active on this program. As you have seen as well, we move in 15 months. We move from 30 million pesos worth of stock buyback program to something in the neighborhood of 650, which we had at the end of March. Given that this is public information, you also know that we have now increased that to 720. So that's kind of what we meant by that comment there.
Okay, great. So just to clarify, there's no new ceiling on the program, right?
Yes, we do have by law we cannot go further than using the retained earnings in our balance sheet.
Okay, that's super clear. Thanks a lot.
Beyond that, yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Miguel Totolero with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the question. It is regarding Mexico. In the last quarters, we have seen some profitability improvements explained partly by the productivity initiatives. My question there is, to what extent should we expect to continue to see such improvements coming from those initiatives? And also, if you could elaborate a bit more on especially such initiatives that could still have an impact on margins going forward. And the second question is related to pricing. Do you currently see any material change in the competitive environment in Mexico that could be impacting pricing strategies within the industry? Thank you.
Yes, Miguel. On the productivity front, we announced 18 months ago that we, you know, started in both Mexico and Central America aggressive projects in terms of productivity. Just to give a number to that, last year we had something in the neighborhood of 1.3, 1.4 billion pesos coming from productivity, real productivity, operation productivity, coming from our supply chain, from the way we buy our material costs and so on. This was certainly helped to partially offset the inflation. For 2018, we do have the same program. We do have the same level of target as well. So we also expect, you know, to hit a target ahead of the 1 billion mark. And this is more kind of starting to be a cultural thing. We are looking at the potential losses we have in our operational front. We are looking at improvements in most of our P&L lines. We do have, let's say, an internal target of delivering from 2 to 2.5% of productivity improvement over the next couple of quarters. And again, this is going to be helping us to kind of surf the wave in case the inflation increases. Now, on pricing, no, we're not looking. We're not seeing any further pressure from the market on that front. And again, I think a lot will probably have to do with the way the peso behaves on the following months/quarters, as well as the macro political arena kind of clears out over the next couple of months. So, to your specific question, no, we're not seeing further pressure or impact in terms of pricing from competitors.
That is very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jorge Huerta with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Scott, Alberto, and Mariana. Thanks for the question. Can you give us more color about how much does cold cuts represent from beverages and others? And what are the dynamics that you are seeing in this segment?
Jorge, thanks for the question. I can give you some information. One is, we're seeing good growth. We're not breaking out the cold cut sales per se, although I think we can say that cold cuts are the primary driver of growth in the other segment. So I can confirm that. I can also say that versus the base last year, the sales are up about the range of 40 to 50%. So the business is moving along nicely, and we're going to continue to grow that through the rest of this year. The dynamics in the market, we've been focused really up to now in the mom and pop channel, which is our currently channel that represents over 90% of our sales in the business. Very recently, we're just starting to introduce our product into the modern trade. With two brands, one brand called NutriDeli and a second brand called Plenia, which is a slightly up tier a little bit. It's kind of a mid-tier plus brand, Plenia. And so we'll be entering modern trade with both of those brands over the next few months. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alvaro Garcia with BTG Pactual. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Scott, Alberto, thanks for the call. I wanted to go back to Brazil, and I appreciate your comments on the 2% comp sales contraction being driven by co-packing, but should we expect this co-packing business to continue to drag sort of results for the rest of the year, or what do you expect as a sort of an organic run rate or as a comp run rate for the rest of the year in terms of top line in Brazil? Thank you.
Yeah, we have a forecast from this client that indicates that the business, the decline in that business will decelerate. It'll be, lower. So I'm trying to think here. I'm thinking in Spanish, trying to speak in English. Sorry for that. But so we have a projection from the customer that indicates that the business will not be growing versus last year, but it also will be declining at a lower rate than it did in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give you a specific figure, but we expect this impact to be a little bit less in the coming quarters. And I guess I can also comment that if we take this out of the business, the rest of the business is growing in kind of, mid-single digits. And that's our core businesses, for the consumer business and the food service business. So, our expectation is to be able to kind of maintain those kind of rates throughout the rest of the year. I think if there is some variation, it's going to be primarily based on this co-packing business, which is relatively low margin. So, as I mentioned, it has little or no impact on at the EBITDA level.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rojo, there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the floor back to you for final comments.
We thank you for your time and interest in Grupo Lala. We hope you will join us again next quarter. Until then, we will be sure to provide you with important updates as developments unfold. Thank you again, and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.